And good morning. This is Friday Morning Talk Line. This is Joe Moses. Diane will be in shortly. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line, where the show is driven by you, the callers. The numbers here to give us a call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Okay, we're going to go straight to the phones. Good morning, Dave.
Thank you for taking my call. I have something on my mind today.
Okay.
And it's been there for 2 years. 2 years ago, as you know, 8 veterans are building an ATG Memorial Park, correct?
Yes.
2 years ago, this month, this group received a letter from the city of Bethel accusing us of wrongdoings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Violating city rules and other things. The way the letter is written, they have already found us guilty and state if you do it again, there will be further consequence. Okay?
Okay.
For 2 years, at least 10 or 12 times, I went to the city council and asked for an opportunity to have a hearing on these allegations of wrongdoings. Are you following me so far?
Okay.
Nothing has ever happened. Now I'm going on talk line. And by the way, we have legal opinion that the city violated the terms and conditions of the contract between the board, the Veterans Affairs, and the city of Bethel.
Okay.
According to the legal opinion, the city of Bethel, through this letter, violated our constitutional rights of privacy.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had a hearing. This war has been going on for 2 years. All we want to do is clear our names, that we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't violate the city's rules. The only thing we did, we've devoted many hours of volunteer service to honor 1,435 men from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta that defended this country during wartime. I want the world to know we are innocent of these allegations, and before I die, I'm hoping to be able to clear the name of the board that we didn't do anything correct, incorrect, illegal. We didn't violate any city rules. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, David. And again, appreciate all the work you've done, you and all your volunteers, all the organizations that helped. We can't thank you enough for an outstanding job.
We are a team, Joe.
Yes.
Team of 8 veterans
uh-huh.
that wanted to do this to honor our people. We're only about 70 years late doing this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good day.
Good day.
All right. Okay. So, did you already give out? I'm sorry, I'm a little bit late.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Swinging in.
You're okay.
Okay, so we have Fritz on the line. Good morning, Fritz. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Me?
We're doing good. The sun's out.
Well, Joe's okay. I don't know if he's good. He's okay.
I don't know about her. She's okay, but kind of on the
edge.
Level side.
It's a beautiful day to talk about the city of Bethel.
Oh, okay. You got the floor. Go for it.
All right, Fritz, bring it.
Okay. These are not speculations.
Okay.
Okay, you got it?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I agree with Dave 110%.
Uh-huh.
And for the city and the city council to be I'm not sure degrading the veterans is a correct word, but I'm going to use it instead. Anyways, for the cemetery, you know, it's, I don't know what these guys are trying to do. The city council, the past and current, but, you know, I myself, I am a veteran, and I'm proud of it. And for the city and the council, doing this is a huge disgrace to the local government. That being said, you know, it was on Facebook for a while, and you guys probably read it about the local law enforcement being shorthanded.
Yeah.
And we all see that all the way across the board, whether it be the fire department, the police department, the public works, the parks committee, parks and recreation. There's only one employee there that I understand. And then, get this, they're going, the city council is probably approved by now that they're going to put GPS tracking devices in water and sewer trucks. And that's costing the city of Bethel $25,000 to $30,000 to install them. And then the monitoring and the enforcement of those GPS tracking devices, how are they going to pay for that?
Well, you know, it's
what they should have done is raise everybody's starting salary $3 an hour. At least a minimum of $3 an hour. Right now, a starting wage for a police department is, what, $21, $22 an hour? Maybe?
Is that a starting? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
And I make way more than that at the local airport. I mean, I don't get that. For a local government body to start enforcement at $22 an hour?
Yeah, for some reason, the city of Bethel is the lowest paid law enforcement department in around that I'm aware of, according to what we've been told.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, you know, it's a local governing body that's doing all these wrongdoings intentionally or unintentionally, but it's their own fault. And why are they getting pissed off or ticked off at me or the general public for complaining about them while they are, you know, They're doing this to themselves.
Well,
you know, they got no rant about it. They put it upon themselves, all the council members.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're friends out in the streets and whatnot, but what they're trying to do is, I don't get it.
Maybe someone can call in and clarify, but I seem to remember last time when there was talk about putting the GPS on the vehicles.
No, that's a different subject.
Costco cab, the cab company putting GPS.
No, I don't mean that. I meant, I'm sorry, on the city utilities vehicles, the water trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody explained it in a way that actually made sense. It wasn't going to be on all of them, and it was, it seemed like there was a reason why they were doing that that made sense after this person
explained it. If they're going to do it, they should do it to all vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
All city vehicles, not just the water sewer.
You wouldn't want them to spend that money.
Well,
and on every vehicle.
Then don't put GPS tracking devices on the vehicles then.
You know
that's
what?
That's just a big waste of money on my tax dollar and your tax dollar and everybody's tax dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They're, I hate to say it, but they're still wet behind the ear, so to speak. They're, I still hate to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. They're,
if you hate to say it. What is it? They're what?
They're ignorant. They're, I'll just leave it at that. They're, you guys know what I'm trying to say. They're a disgrace.
Okay, see, I think that's strong.
Local body government. They're a huge disgrace.
I got one for you, folks.
They're wasting our tax dollars on unnecessary, highly unnecessary equipment.
Okay, Fritz.
I got one for you.
Oh.
Okay.
They started collecting tobacco tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
That goes into the general fund.
Yeah.
And now they're collecting alcohol tax. That's going in the general fund. And you know what they say?
They don't have any money.
They're broke. How can you be broke if you're collecting tobacco tax, alcohol tax?
No, but the alcohol tax has been like 1 month. So
I know, but
they need time to accumulate whatever dollars. And they weren't sure exactly how much they would be collecting. So that's not known yet. So that would be about next year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
The tobacco tax is part of the general fund. I imagine it's used for
where's the money
city
going?
Services. Well,
you know what somebody said? It's going into the pool.
You know, I don't think that's fair.
Well,
I don't think that's fair to say that.
There's the pool.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's the pool, and then there's the city managers and the public works director's
salary.
Really significant raise. That's where all the money's going.
The pool is worthwhile. So, you know, that has to be funded. I don't think all the taxes are going to the pool.
The city council should have thought about this before they made the pool.
I think there were discussions, and I think that there was a one anyway, we probably need to move on because there's callers backing up. But
okay, guys. Yeah. The fishing is now on federal run. It's no longer a state run. But it's going to remain closed until further notice, the same concepts as the state.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go from there, and it's no longer run by the state fish and game. So hopefully we'll get better management run assessments from the United States Fish and Wildlife Services. But we'll keep everybody posted on that as well.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Fritz. I think there's...
All right. Thank you.
Okay. John, Nick, good morning.
Morning. A little late here.
I know. And things got started.
Seemed like somebody's... Every time I try to call, nobody answered or rang 10 times.
Oh.
Well, you got to keep trying because we don't... It's no longer the old phone system. It's the new digital phone system. So you just got to keep trying until somebody answers.
Anyway, the guy that used to maintain it was really good at it. Sure miss him.
Yeah, well, we can't help the fact of technology today.
Anyway, I've heard of this wanting to track down where the vehicles are at on the GPS. What happened to old walkie-talkie? That's cheap. They already have them in their trucks. I don't see where you have to maintain. You can't get lost here. Unless you need water, and the guy who's in charge can call off the person that has the vicinity where they're supposed to bring water, remind them. I called that before, and I had no problem with the water and sewer director. He's a really good person at that, and He keeps up to date on who needs water and who needs sewage pumpage, and all we have to do is call him up, and then things are done. I like, you know, he's a good person doing that. I don't see where you have to have GPS monitors to monitor wherever the heck they're at. I don't mind it in a police patrol because they're out of their car and doing serious work and stuff like that, you know, life-threatening stuff. But to have somebody just to be delivering water and sewer, that's out of range.
Yeah. I don't really understand.
That's simply stupid, like that guy. The guy was saying this ignorance. You got to look at your financial status before you go into,
but
jump into all these big things here.
You know, John, I don't. It's hard to imagine the city just said, let's spend $40,000 and GPS a couple of vehicles. I think they probably did a little investigation, and they have a rationale for doing it. I think it was to gauge efficiency and see what information they could get to improve efficiency.
Like I was saying before, Diane, the efficiency you call the public director, and then he'll get right on the case. He's doing a heck of a good job. I've spoken with him before, and I had good results. So
okay, yeah.
We'll just leave it at that and let them maintain. I'd like to send our condolences to the Riley family for the loss of their mother. And let them know that they're thought of in prayers and thoughts. So you guys have a good weekend there.
You too.
And please wear your life jacket. And don't drink and drive. And be careful. Maintain, if you're going long, this could have two boats in case something happens, you know. Keep track of each other.
Yeah.
Be in a partner system. So please don't drink and drive, and don't drink if you're pregnant also. Thank you.
Okay,
you
thanks,
guys have
John.
A good, safe weekend.
Thanks for hanging in
I'm
there.
I'm glad I'm on here again. I'll see you later. Bye.
Okay. All right, next we have Gregory. Good morning, Gregory. Welcome to Talkline.
Yowzers, a good morning to one and all.
Okay, Gregory, what's up?
Okay. Yeah, you ready for a good one?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to think about it.
I now know why the poodle is the nippiest, bitiest dog globally.
Why it's the what kind of dog? Nubius?
Poodle.
The poodle, yeah. Why?
Well, after a bad haircut there, wouldn't you be the same way, too?
Okay.
Put a laugh on everybody this morning there in spite of all the situations going on.
Yes.
Okay, well,
yeah. The poodle
thank you all for the smile, and you all be cool.
Thank you. So the poodle with the bad haircut day. Yes, that happened at Talkline today. A poodle story. All right, Roxanne, good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much. Good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
Awesome. So I got some quick news for the community. So I just wanted to clear the airwaves, to use a terrible pun. but the 4th of July will be happening in Bethel. So I'm going to be the events coordinator, a point of contact. So I just wanted to put it out there that the parade's going to be going on. We'll have games and activities. We're looking for musicians and entertainers, and there's going to be more information going up on Facebook. But if possible, I'd like to just leave my number so if people want to get in contact and ask some questions, they know who to get in touch with.
Very good. What's your number?
Awesome. So my number is 914-462-7284.
Okay,
so
and
it's going to be a really good time. Yeah.
And when you say it'll go up on the Facebook page, what page is that?
That's great, Diane. I was thinking about making a separate Facebook page, but I think for the sake of expediency, I'm going to put it up on It's Going On in Bethel.
It's Going On in Bethel. Okay.
Yes. So that's going to be the one I go to.
Okay, good. All right. And
the
games and all that will happen at Pinky's Park like it has in the past?
Yes.
Indeed. Same location.
It's going to go on at Pinky's Park.
Okay.
Yep. And the parade is going to start at Swanson's. And once again, as I found out in years before, it's going to end at Pinky's. We're still working on some details, getting some things set in stone. But everything will indeed go up on Facebook.
Great.
We'll get more info out there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Roxanne, for taking that on. It's a great event. It's a lot of fun. And some of the floats are out of sight. They're really good.
I'm looking forward to the phenomenal floats. Well, Diane, you have a great weekend. Everyone else out there, have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye, Diane.
All right. So, again, if you would like to help or if you need more information on the 4th of July activities or you yourself would like to volunteer to help, you can call Roxanne at 914-462-7284. And you can find more information at the Facebook page, It's Going On in Bethel. That's a great page because people post activities and events. So It's Going On in Bethel. All right.
Again, the phone number is here, 54.
You are listening to Talkline, an open format where the public has the opportunity to voice their points of view. The opinions expressed are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors.
Mark, good morning. You are on Talkline.
Hey, good morning. Just a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the police department on some apparently pretty speedy detective work the other day in solving the break-in at Base Air Cargo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I do think that there is an issue there that, and I brought this up with the city manager, that the police department needs to be a little quicker in getting public information available to the media, because apparently KYK News Department is filling out a release of information form to find out what the police department's already got posted on their Facebook page. But that's another issue.
Okay.
but I'd like to talk real briefly about the question of monitoring utility truck operations.
Thank you. Okay, clarify.
I'm not going to try to clarify anything because I don't have nothing to do with I'm not even aware of making decisions to spend money on GPS tracking. But what I've been trying to suggest for a couple of years is this. And just as a brief aside, a lot of people are probably aware that we have got some very, very smart people here in Bethel. I mean, we got some, technology, I won't call them geniuses, but that's just because I know they all have very small egos and I don't want to massage them too much.
Okay.
So the whole point of being able to keep track of where utility trucks, especially water trucks, have been is so that people know they're getting their water. They're getting their sewer pumped. So rather than having a GPS tracking system that only shows you where the trucks have been, doesn't show what they've been doing, it doesn't show how much water they've delivered, there was quite a bit of debate a number of years ago about, well, can't we put meters on water trucks? And the argument was, oh, it's too cold here to have water meters on trucks. Okay, well, whatever. So what I would like to suggest is, and I've been talking about this to people for a while, is you have a very, very simple microprocessor-based system built into the utility trucks. Every household in Bethel has a unique numeric or alphanumeric identifier. And when the water truck pulls up to your house, they all have a list. They got the run sheet every day of where they deliver to. So they punch in on this little keypad, they punch in the number of the house they're at, and they push start. It registers the time that the house number was punched in. It also activates a flow meter in the delivery system, which can be put in at, a fairly low cost. I think a measurement valve can be installed in the water trucks for probably under $500 per truck. Maybe a little more when you count the plumbing to put it in. It's connected by either Bluetooth or by hardwire.
Okay, so Mark, we probably don't need all of that. I've got a lot of calls.
It can be made really simple. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the week, somebody from the utility office goes to each truck, pulls out the information, and now we know how much water has been delivered to each house, mm-hmm. and the sewer trucks have the same thing. And people can then start to make the argument for, why don't we start charging by the gallon instead of by the size of the tank?
Okay.
And we don't need GPS tracking devices to keep track of where the truck's been going, because you really don't get any management information from that.
Okay.
So that's sorry to be tendentious with my description of how it would work, but I think a lot of people can dig it. So
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mark. So that, I would have liked it if they had put the resources into figuring out how to charge, meter the water, like he was talking about, where you could tell exactly how many gallons and stuff, instead of the way we do it now. But anyway, okay. So we have a couple of people backed up here. Rhonda Sargent. Good morning, Rhonda. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
You too.
I wanted to call and thank all of our 4-H'ers and parents that have made our first week of summer program very successful, and especially our two volunteers, Miss Erin and Miss Katie, that came from the schools and helped us out with Community Service Week.
Mm-hmm.
We are still taking enrollments for 4-H'ers to do day camp, soccer that starts next Monday at the field. They're still taking enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Karate and boxing and dog club. So if parents are still interested in something fun for kids to do in the afternoons and evenings, come by the teen center and we can get them enrolled in 4-H. We also have free meals open to the community, anyone who is 18 or younger, and that's at 12:15 lunch and 5:15 dinner, Monday through Friday. So if you're looking for something fun to do, this week we did community service. Next week we're going to be doing taking care of me, being home safe, and babysitting skills. Then the week after that we'll be doing resisting aggression defensively with our National Guard and Bethel Teen Exchange teens leading that. So if anyone's interested in 4-H as an adult helping out, or to have somewhere for their youth to come, we would love to see you.
Okay.
At the Teen Center at 543-2088.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda.
Great, thank you. Bye.
Okay, so we have an email that Geraldine will... Oh, no, we don't. We have John Carter. Sorry. John Carter, welcome to Talkline.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from Alaska.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to talk a bit about something that's going on down at Washington or someplace in the United States, that are presidential citizens who are selected to be the next president of these United States of America, and their running mates.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning of campaign, there has been numerous amount of humans running for it to become something. But until this date, there are only two people left running that are a woman and this woman, Hillary and Trump. Both of them vying to become chief of everything, of all things. Of course, this Trump guy may have been boozy at times, but he has not done anything to make a fool of himself. The words he said over the years in trying to become commander-in-chief were just words that's human nature. And the other person, the woman, according to my guesstimation, conceals things, hides things. I think this winter guy, the Snowden, who's exiled in someplace in Kuskokwim River, for example, if you were running for stuff like these and you conceal stuff, no way in the world my votes could go in that direction. As for the running mate for this guy, the Romeo person, and for the woman, Sandra guy. All righty, good morning.
Okay. So, branching out into some national politics. Well, I always find that interesting.
You see the news lately? Every time there's a Trump shows up or Hillary shows up, they have a fighting amongst their people that are for Trump and for Hillary.
Not so much at the Clinton rallies, but at the Trump rallies, yes, there are people opposing Trump and pro-Trump having it out in the parking lot. A lot of men, to be honest. Kind of a lot of men kind of getting into it with each other.
You see, I hope it doesn't get worse. I hope it doesn't. Eggs?
No, I'm sorry to hear about that. All right, there's an email that Geraldine's going to read for us.
Yes, this is an anonymous email. It says, I'm very happy to see Zach Fansler running against Bob Heron in the upcoming election. Both Bob and Lyman disguise themselves as Democrats while voting and working toward Republican agenda that is rarely, if ever, in the best interest of the Delta. Neither have very much grip on what the YK Delta needs and actively vote against the interests of our communities. It's apparent they are out of touch with the world as we know it today and what our people need, not just to thrive but survive the future. There are too many smart, hardworking, and good people in the Delta for us to continually settle for those two dishonest, backwards-thinking men. Alaska has some incredibly big challenges in the near future. We need thinkers and community advocates at the head of our state, not old businessmen protecting their own interests. And there's another anonymous email. It says, I fully support GPS units in the city trucks. I worked for the water and sewer department, and there was rampant racketeering of services on the side for money, weed, or booze. With GPS units, drivers would have to explain why they are out in Tunderidge when their route is across the slough. The GPS units would pay for themselves with decreased fraud, less fuel being used, and increased efficiency.
Oh, okay. So there's probably, something about efficiency in that. So now this is very interesting. Zach Fansler has thrown his hat in the ring to run for the House rep seat that is currently held by Bob Heron. Zach's running as a Democrat. Bob is listed as a Democrat, but his voting record is straight Republican Party. So it'd be interesting to see how this goes.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
So don't forget to vote for.
Oh, I'm not. We're not promoting anyone, but it's worthwhile for people to be open, aware, learn.
Well,
see
important
where,
thing
see
is
where
just
the two
vote.
Candidates.
Go vote.
No, well, it's also important to be informed when you vote. So read what they have to say. There'll probably be interviews with both Bob and Zach in the future. It'd be great if there was some kind of debate. You know, they had a debate with the candidates.
You'd make a good debater to make sure it happens.
I'd love to, facilitate a debate. All right, so, Cesari, you're on the line, and there's some calls backed up, Cesari, so just be aware of that. So don't get mad if I cut you off.
don't cut me off, please. Okay,
right.
I'll just tell you really quickly what I hear from you guys and what I know. We have some little breeze, fresh breeze air come to battle, but we need the full breeze air. You know, there was a couple busts for her stealing and stuff. The bus doesn't mean nothing. I like to see conviction. I see that people go to jail and spend time, but we haven't driven the bus for many times. I never see any sentence and conviction. Bus is nothing. You know, the conviction and proved guilty and dead guilty. And right now, what I understood that it's all about that stealing and felonies and because of her value and stuff. I never heard anything about drugs and stuff, which is really bothering me. Because the all things what is really hurting me is all about the drugs. And the stealing is about the drugs because the people need money for drugs. And that's what they have to be pushed. That's what they have to concentrate for. And I hope they have some success. I don't know what they do and how far they go. Another thing, you were talking, Zach, we have him, he's a good guy. And I respect him, but I still sit in my head when he's in interviews and stuff with the city council and quickly change it to after he gets elected. So I have to ask him lots of serious questions before I put my vote.
True. Good.
Yeah, and another thing, what they really bother me nationwide with the Obama signed paper to all school and public and public facility have to anybody go to women's and girls and boys and you know that makes me turn guts out. you accepting that this kind of sign to allow anybody go to women's or girls' bathroom? You accepting that, even the male or old man, or you see with a girl in the bathroom and the big guy?
You're referring to
the trans.
Yeah, the transgender.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I've gone to the bathroom all my life. Many years. I'm 57 years of going to the bathroom. Never once. And the concern is for women. So you gentlemen probably don't have this concern, but this is what the fear is that somehow I will be going to the bathroom and a man will come in and be dressed as a woman in order to attack me. And I have absolutely zero fear that that is ever going to happen.
You know, they opened the door for it. They opened the door for it. That was not happened because they're not allowed it. Now they say it's okay.
No, it's no. Cesari,
with the child molester, he go to the bathroom.
Cesari,
and he said, "I am the female." What are you talking?
Cesari, law. What it is people, all humans, have a right to use the bathroom that fits their gender identity, period. In terms of child molesters, those are in people's homes. Those are in people's churches. Those are in people's coaches, with their coaches. That's where the concern is. That's where it's happening. It is not happening in
the door. Let's open the door to be with the child molester, to be in bathroom with little girls.
That's not going to happen, Cesari.
Why are you saying that be happen?
You do not have to
fear
that.
There was already in Canada one of them being busted, those child molester calling and chasing little girls in bathroom. Why are you saying that? Don't on CNN or MSNBC. What is really, really liberals, and they was talking about that the Canadian guy would be busted several times for using and hidden excuse because he is gender identity.
Yeah, you're expressing a fear you do not have to have unless you want to be worried, but you don't have to be. And I suspect deep down inside you're not really that worried.
How do you explain some girl would be molested by some sickle guy, child molester? How do you explain the parents and her? If you're saying, "Oh, I promise that nothing will happen," you promise this kind of thing? How you promise this kind of thing?
Because it's a blow.
Because you know that nothing will happen.
Okay, so anyway, it's a blown up fear, way out of proportion. Children do not. That is not where it happens.
You have
we have
priests and you put to high school,
coaches,
to school, to kindergarten, and you write the boys calling over them.
Yeah, that's not what the law. That's not what's going on. You've blown this into something that is not real. So, yeah, that's right.
It's really.
I said
that's
it.
It's real. This what you say.
Yeah. No. I study these things, so I can. I'm trying to let you know,
that you study Obama's movement.
You do not have to be afraid. If you want to be, you can.
I don't have to be afraid. I tell you, if my granddaughter go to bathroom, I swear that even I go to jail, I understand. I just don't be sure some whack or no go in it.
Right. Okay. So good.
I would do the same too. If my grandkid went in the bathroom, I'm gonna.
Well, everybody, people go into the bathroom with their children. I mean, they take care of it. I just don't get this. You know, when you go to a concert,
you know why it's
to
hard
event,
for you to say that? Because
why, Joe?
You have no children. You have no grandchildren. You don't understand what parenting is, other than what you were taught by your mother and father. But come on, get real here. It's a possibility. It does happen. You're right. It does happen in schools. It does happen in colleges. But who's to say it hasn't happened in the bathroom? Who's to say?
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right. There. See, now Cesari's happy.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go on to another caller. Leonard, good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Hey, good morning, Bethel.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the people of Antioch that's doing that test fishing here. And to Archie and Margie for sharing a king salmon with me and my family yesterday. I just want to say thanks a lot. That means everything to us to have fresh fish like that.
Oh, how nice. Okay.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. I know you got a lot of calls. So
but thank you, Leonard, for calling and sharing that.
Okay,
that was really nice. Yeah, sweet. Okay, we have Raymond on the line. Good morning, Raymond.
Hi, good morning. Well, summer finally has arrived. You know what? Still a lot of people in the Waikei Delta do not have access to computers. You know, long ago, some time ago, on KYUK Radio, they used to have what they call it, swap.
Swap show, yeah, on Saturday mornings.
Swap shop, whatever happened to that? You know, people could use the extra money for, you know, whatever they don't need. And from what I understand, you know, people got rid of what they had to sell long ago real fast through swap shop. There's no more swap shop. What happened to it? But anyway, I have another thing, speaking of summer, you know, many people in the YK Delta, this is to ABCP Regional Housing Board of Directors and Management. You know, some people have to pay rent for first month and last month or 2 months at a time because they get their SSI or whatever their benefits in, you know, in the middle of the month. And rent is due first of the month and, you know, that doesn't leave some people money for subsistence activities. I find this kind of heartbreaking. And, you know, like that Ayatollah and Lulu, you know, they pay the rent, and then the rent, they might get their SSI as their benefit, you know, second Wednesday of the month. And the rent is due the first, and what I understand, they have to pay 2 months' rent. No wonder. And, you know, one lady told me there's there's empty rooms upstairs, and then the manager said there's a waiting list, but I don't even know what to believe. But I wish the ABCP Regional Housing Authority and management could rent those places out to fit people's needs, the senior citizens and disabled, because we're on fixed income. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't leave them, you know, enough money for subsistence activities, you know, like berry picking and whatever. And, but anyway, enjoy your summer. I hope they get that swap shop or whatever back on KYUK again.
You know, I just got handed a note that they stopped. It was Tundra Trading Post, and it got stopped because the staff, and that was Riboshore, left. And also, because of budget cuts, they couldn't afford someone else to do that show. So budget cuts are really difficult. But Tundra Trading, and it was fun. And Ribo did a great job. It was fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah, Trading Post, and before that it was Swap and Shop.
Yeah.
That was many years ago, but KYUK, you know, that it would, I believe it would boost the economy for, or get money for, you know, those people in need, you know, with budget cuts and everything. KYUK should reconsider getting it back online, you know, because... Yeah. We're not rich people out here. You know, lots of people don't have computers or access to computers.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me wonder anyway. Yeah, have a good summer.
Thank you, Raymond.
Bye.
And, you know, to Raymond's point, that's public radio is always dependent on grants, on public donations.
Volunteers.
Volunteers.
Like me.
Volunteers.
So if you want to volunteer...
to have to the trade show, Tundra Trading Post. Well, I don't know how that works, but anyway, but it's good to know and to understand that that's why all of when people donate to KYUK during fundraising drives, it's so important and so valued, so that we can have shows, more shows. Wassily Ivan, you're on the line. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah. Bobby Hoffman. Call 757-2099.
Oh, you want Bobby Hoffman to call you?
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby Hoffman, call Wassily.
757-2099.
Okay, thank you.
How are you?
Okay. Okay. Walter, good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning.
What's
I
on
live
your
on the, I live just off of the Hoffman Highway.
Uh-huh.
Or the State Highway. And over this past week, the sirens on those police vehicles have been virtually turned off. This morning, they were just kind of making a little bit of noise as they come zooming by at 60, 70 miles an hour on our straightaway out here.
Huh.
Well, to turn those vehicle sirens off, emergency on emergency vehicles, is so stupid. You know, our children, and a lot of our children play alongside the road. There's a lot of people out alongside of the road. And there's vehicles on the road.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear those sirens, we make way for the police.
You're saying that they've been going by they've been speeding by, but they haven't had their sirens on.
Right.
Oh.
And they're going to kill someone.
Yeah.
And if someone is hurt, maimed, or killed, guess what the implications are going to be? You know, lawsuits against the city and the police and everything
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these sirens were made to be used in emergencies like that, so the emergency vehicles and the police vehicles will have a clean road
mm-hmm.
to make their fast runs on. You know, it's just so stupid to not run their sirens on
right.
these fast runs.
Yeah.
Also, too, another one regarding our Kuskokwim fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the fish board members should be removed, namely Beverly Hoffman. And this is due to conflict of interest on her side. I remember a couple years ago, we wanted to fish on the river for the Silvers, and on her suggestion, the fishing was postponed for 2 more weeks so they could get some up that up in in
up
their
river?
Upriver area. And then again, also item number two in that, her family runs a wilderness adventure that they have, and you know, these people are taken up to, which is okay, that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe for someone like her in the fish board, because these people, her clients, are they fish up there too on the Caesar Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those two items would be conflict of interest on her part.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as fish people that depend on the fish, needs to protest or something to stop this. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that whatever policies were set up were voted by the whole group and not just Hoffman. But I don't know. It's hard to imagine that there would be that motivation to put a fish enclosure down here so that enough fish go up there for tourists. I don't agree with that, but it's his point. That's his point.
Again, the number sheriff.
You are listening to Talk Line, an open format where the public has the opportunity to voice their points of view. The opinions expressed are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors.
Your email, or you can state your name, but don't use my name for your comment. So
well,
we have Liz.
Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Liz. You're on Talk Line.
Hi. Do I need to turn my radio off?
No, it seems like, yes, you should turn it down or turn it off.
Okay.
Because it'll be...
This is for my cousin, Lyman.
Okay.
Hoffman. I was visiting an elderly woman who was inpatient with at the hospital from Oscarsville. That sweet old lady was saying that this is a good time to be hanging up fish. But then she was so sad that she wishes to have fishing opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before the flies come out really bad. This is not good.
Right, because, yeah.
Yeah, I felt sorry for her. She's in her 90s. And we don't have a voice anymore, it seems like it. But it's beyond our hands. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's, they're fishing everywhere else except the Kuskokwim.
Mm-hmm.
They're catching fish everywhere else except here. You know, they're...
Isn't it related
from,
to
from
the
perspective of a
needs?
Person that lived here all their life, and mm-hmm. that's what they do
mm-hmm.
on an annual basis at a certain time of the year due to weather?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't like to be... what's the word I'm looking for?
I won't
prejudice
say.
Or against... people that don't understand a culture, like you said,
mm-hmm.
you know, you talk about colonization all the time. Well, mm-hmm. you know, up here, there's a certain time of the year to catch.
I know.
Cut, clean, dry, hang, smoke.
It must be really hard for people with the weather like this, because it's just...
this is perfect weather.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's just, how is it possible they're fishing everywhere else except here?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that picture.
Well, someone might be able to help us because
well,
we have
hope.
Ray. We have
we
Ray.
Hope.
Ray from Fish and Wildlife is calling.
Okay,
in.
Well.
So, good morning, Ray. You've called at the right time.
I guess so, yeah. I just want to address maybe a couple of questions
please.
Real quickly. Is that, you know, closure is actually agreed upon by the Kuskokwim delegation to the Board of Fish in February. So, that's kind of the basis for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have concerns also about why we closed on May 20th. From the federal side, the Federal Subsistence Board, and the state Department of Fish and Game, we all agreed that an early closure was needed. We just hadn't decided on any date.
Mm-hmm.
The May 20th date, of course, came from listening to the working group, which is the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group. They're supposed to represent everybody up and down the river. So based on that recommendations, we went ahead and made that closure. So that's listening to the people as part of our job. If, you know, the folks want to change that, we're kind of locked in for this year, but let's definitely talk about next year. Can we do, what can we do better next year? I think we can definitely improve upon that.
Well, the need for this closure, can you speak to that? Because you didn't close it just because it got recommended to be closed. I mean, is there some scientific backing for making a closure like this? And this closure is very large. There's not even like a one-day opportunity or even a half-a-day opportunity just for people to get out and see what they can get.
Yeah, the scientific basis for it is, you know, closure to protect the Chinook salmon. That is kind of the objective of that. So based upon the science and what we saw last year, the Chinook really started to show up, you know, about the first week of June, the 1st of June through the 5th of June, something like that. What we observed last year with a 4-inch opener is that people were targeting the kings, you know, that part of the year. So we made the recommendation that we should close early to protect that Chinook run. And then the actual closure date was agreed upon, you know, again at the working group. So the objective is to protect the Chinook salmon. And as of June 1st, the Federal Subsistence Board, you know, made the decision to close public waters of the Kuskokwim River for harvest of Chinook and Chum, except for federally qualified subsistence users. So that was kind of the change in our management strategy a little bit with Fish and Wildlife Service, working with the state of Alaska. We have federal responsibility now for Chinook and Chum, and the state has responsibility for the other species.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working together on this process, and we're having meetings weekly with the Intertribal Fish Commission and Salmon Management Working Group, trying to come up with the best way to move forward with that. But it's based upon, you know, there's a historical use of about 80,000 fish being harvested, and the state objective for escapement is somewhere between 65 and 120. So right now this year we're planning on 140,000 is being the number of Chinook to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at 100,000 for the escapement objective this year. So that leaves about 40,000 to harvest. It definitely doesn't meet that 80,000 historical harvest. So the kind of closure is based on protecting the Chinook and how we can best do that. And it's definitely a work in progress. Fisheries management is complex.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely happy to hear from everybody as to what the best answers are. You know, and everybody I talk to says, what do you think we should be doing? What's the best way to approach this? But at some point in time, we need to move forward so we can open it up and everybody can fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's, well, that's helpful to get sort of some background and context. It just seems like a particularly large window of not being able to fish for the kings. And it seems like there could maybe have been a small opening, just so people could work the fish during when the weather's like this and put them up when it's good weather. But
yeah, I understand.
And I think there was a recommendation, wasn't there, for like a 72-hour opening, which maybe that could have been compromised to a smaller number of hours opening. But it was just decided against that suggestion, right?
Yeah, in discussions with the Department of Fish and Game, the decision was reached that small opening wouldn't meet the objective of protecting the salmon, you know, from the 4-inch nets, and that was a decision that was pretty well articulated
mm-hmm.
by Aaron Potter and his message to everybody. So I think that's important to understand that we're trying to respond to people as to what they're interested in and what their guidance is. But it is sometimes it's difficult to change in midstream is the way mm-hmm. we're going on these pathways.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can probably understand the difficulty of putting the pressure on subsistence users when you have trawlers that are also getting lots of bycatch.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting question, the bycatch issue.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lou Coggins on my staff here is part of the Fisheries Council that monitors the pollock fishery where the salmon are caught at.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the most restricted fishery in the world for that. And the science indicates that they only catch about 2, maybe 3% of the total salmon catch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small percentage. It's numbers, I agree. That's important to understand that.
Uh-huh. And probably those higher restrictions came from a lot of advocacy from people in this region and other people who do more subsistence fishing really put a lot of pressure on the industry.
They
right?
did. And they responded to that. You know, they responded and said, okay, we'll put additional restrictions on that particular fishery. So kind of the effect of some of that, of course, is it drives up the cost of fish, you know, for market, for people that buy fish. So
mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect subsistence fishers, but it affects the rest of the economy. And, of course, anybody that depends on that economy for income, anybody that does any kind of commercial fishing or is associated with different groups that benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to bring up, somebody brought forth, I have law enforcement officers on the river right now doing outreach activities. And the question came up, why do they have to be armed? It's not by their choice, quite frankly. They're mandated to be armed. They have a duty as public service officers to respond to emergencies to protect people, life and limb, and things like that, just like any other police officer does. So part of their job is to be prepared to respond to protect people.
Oh, so things outside of fishery
right.
Violations.
Right. They have a duty to protect people. So part of their job, you know, when they're out there and they're on patrol, is to protect people. If there's something bad going down in one of our law enforcement officers out there, they have a duty, a responsibility to respond.
Oh, okay. So they're responding to other kinds of calls. They are ready to respond to other kind of calls if they have to.
And I guess until they had an incident a couple of days ago, we had two officers in the vicinity, and they responded and helped out the troopers and did that sort of thing. So it's part of a bigger picture than just the fisheries enforcement in this case. So they have that kind of duty and responsibility. And they take that very seriously. So it's important that it's more than just fisheries enforcement that they're doing out there. They're also protecting people in the communities as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's been really helpful to have you call in. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. All right. So we have Robert Hoffman. Good morning, Robert. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Well, you guys got me busy this morning.
We are.
But it's very interesting. Every subject is very, very interesting and is very good to hear. The first one is about this GPS. This GPS on these vehicles. I'd like to let the people know that this GPS is not what some of us may have seen that they are for. The GPS, like locations and all that, I don't believe it's for that reason. I think, and I believe I heard the last caller, it is for the city's accountability. The city charges us already so much to deliver, and it takes time to deliver. And when they do it, and when they mess that one up, that is why they need accountability on their part to save more money for everybody else. Mm-hmm. When the accounting system on the vehicles is not proper, we lose material, and that is why they're probably used in the vehicles for accountability purposes for the city's use. Yeah, that was only for the city's problem that they were having. I'd like to let the people know that the Calista packets are coming out, and I sure wish and hope that everyone that gets a packet votes on their own, whichever way they want. Don't let nobody vote for you. Vote yourself, so there'll be less disagreements at the other end. I want everybody to vote so they won't disagree on the one that makes it in. Everyone should vote. Don't let no one vote yours for your votes. Do it yourself. This boy from Antioch, did I hear him correct to tell us people downriver here that he's eating fresh king salmon? How come he gets to eat king salmon and I don't get to eat king salmon? He better be quiet. Maybe the law enforcement better go get him. There are lots of state troopers on the river, I heard. They better run up to Antioch and check that king fisherman out. And this Beverly Hoffman issue...
There's not a Beverly Hoffman issue. Okay.
I mean, there's no Beverly Hoffman. About the Beverly Hoffman family wilderness business.
Yeah.
I heard some. That person is very accurate. It's not that her business, it's a difference between her business and what she represents. And she is involved in the issue by profit and non-profit. That's probably why he was kind of mad. It's her involvement in profit-making while trying to help the subsistence fishing. That's the only problem he had. This game warden that closed these livers, we could understand why they closed the king salmon. But my question again is, I get a call from all over the region. They're kicking king salmon in Anchorage. And that really locks one of my friends catching king salmon and laughing at us. You know, and I'm, you know, this is nothing to be, but it saddens me because
right.
he's Caucasian and I'm Eskimo.
And
how
he's eating he kings.
How come he gets to eat fish and I don't?
I know.
That, you know.
That does not seem right.
is it true what I heard last couple of months ago? About our Eskimo arguing on the talk line. And he reminded me, he said, it was not the Eskimos that bought Alaska. It was the Caucasians that bought Alaska. And I didn't know what to say. I just didn't know what to say. Okay, that's
okay.
All. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye now.
All right, thank you. Looks like Herman... Oh, we have an email.
Yeah,
real quick. Yeah.
It's from Mark Leary. It says, the kings they are eating in Aniak are from the Aniak test fishery, same as the Bethel test fishery.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification. But you know what I kind of can have a feel for, even though I'm not, you know, I didn't grow up here. But I can hear in people's voices that sense of loss when, you know, hearing about someone else getting to eat the kings or whatever, and then the sense of loss that you can't be who you would normally be during this time because you have this restriction. You know, I just think there is a loss there.
Well,
and I think it is sad.
You've been here long enough to know what's going on.
I get a feel for it.
You get a
over
feel
the
for
years,
it. You
yeah.
understand. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you're understanding to be part of this, what we call... like some people say, differences of opinion,
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
fighting amongst each other.
But you can hear. But then the other thing is, I can hear in people's voices. Yeah,
the frustration. Yeah.
The human.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Herman Morgan. Good morning. You're on Talk Line. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah. Good morning. I used to be on Fish and Game Advisory Committee for about 25 years, and I kind of know like what's going on, like what the other old lady said, you know, about them telling us not to fish at all, you know, and but there's hope next year if the Democrats there at the White House have stopped these federal overreach and all these lands. Who invited these federal people to manage our fish and game. Too bad we couldn't go back to state management, because last year there was a state, we were right between state management and federal management, and them federal guys, they wouldn't even let us fish one bit, even though there's thousands of kings going by, but that state guy, they understand our way of life. And it's intimidating to see armed people out there, just like Mussolini or Hitler did, you know, they call them brown shirts, you know. That's intimidating. And the way they're doing it, you guys, they're messing it up. You know, they're letting everybody go out on this certain day, and everybody go out and fish these fish for a certain tributary, you know, instead of like how just gathered where we don't fish one bunch of fish. And look, even the seagulls and the minnows are herding. All of a sudden, they used to have, you know, they used to have a lot. We used to see them eating, but their fish we throw, now they don't have that. It's sad to see federal man, but a long time ago, elders used to tell us about this. They're going to tell us you can't hunt their fish, but they didn't tell us what to do.
Oh, good point.
What do we do? What do we do? We ask God to help us, because they're going too far by cousins completely like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, they don't care about our way of life. And I agree, some people on that working group need to be changed,
mm-hmm.
especially that Aniak Subsistence Representative. You know, all of a sudden there's new thing that you're going to save fish from upriver. I thought it was to save the kings. How come they can use it all the time now for this, you know? Closing us off completely like this, it's wrong. God put those fish for us there to feed our families and our way of life. And I sure don't like the way it's managed. You know, somebody got to do something. Those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Herman. Okay. So next we have Zach. Good morning, Zach. Welcome to Talkline, your alma mater.
Hi, good morning,
Zach
Diane
Fansler.
And Joe. How are you?
Good.
This is Zach Fansler. I was calling in. You know, I don't want to take away too much from the great discussions that everybody are having about fishing. But I did want to call in and say that, you know, I have thrown my hat into the ring, and I am going to be running for the House of Representatives for the District 38, and just kind of feel that it's time to go out there and see some alternatives. I think we have a lot of gridlock right now that's happening in Juneau, and, you know, I feel like we've seen that kind of being echoed from a lot of different people. And, you know, we have a real big budget crisis right now on our hands. And I think everybody can see that when you have a $4.1 billion deficit, you need to start to tackle that problem. And the longer we run and hide from that, I think the bigger the problem is going to get.
Now, Zach, moving forward, how will people get more information about your positions and what you'd like to do if you were elected? Will you have a Facebook page or a website? What's your plan?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a complete social media rollout here in the next couple of weeks, as well as a website that you can access information about my positions. We'll be having some mailers that will be headed out. The best way is always to come and talk to me, because it's not just important the things that, you know, I've heard so far and you know, my positions on things, but it's also important to get the input of the people, because really that's what we want, I think, out of our elected officials. We want people that are going to represent their constituents. And, you know, I feel that we can have someone elected to the House for us that would represent the will of the people more. And that's what I'm looking to do, really.
Okay. And how would people reach you if they wanted to ask questions or find out more about your candidacy?
Right now, best way to reach me is either email. They can email me at zfansler@hotmail.com. That's my personal email. They can always give me a call. My number is 545-4503, and I'm perfectly willing to talk to anyone and everyone.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of compelling things that are going on in the state right now, and it's time that we got to move on making some decisions and really starting to set the future for our children. That's what it really comes down to, is taking a stand and kind of ending this gridlock that we've been seeing. I'd really like to see a bipartisan majority in the House. That could be a situation where, you know, Democrats and Republicans are working together to lead our state forward and do what's in the best interest of our state, but also a representative that's going to do and make votes that's in the best interests of our folks that live here on the Delta.
And you're running with the Democratic Party, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So we can look forward to hearing more from you and probably also from Bob Heron. And it'll be great. Maybe at some point you two would be able to have a debate or have some back and forth where you both are discussing your points of view in a way that the public can learn more from. So if someone wants to get a hold of Zach Fansler, you can at zfansler, F-A-N-S-L-E-R, at hotmail.com. You are welcome to call him at 545-4503. And yeah, we look forward to the race.
Yeah, hey, Joe.
Are you going to have a campaign manager or a campaign coordinator for your running?
Yep, looking to line up a couple of campaign chairs as we speak, and yeah, anyone that has, you know, any input or interest in that, I'd certainly be willing to talk to them, and that's exactly what we plan to do.
All right. Well, wish you the best.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and you know, like you said, I would welcome a debate. I would welcome any kind of situation where we can, you know, talk as a group and go from there. I think an open dialogue is the best way to go in this situation. And looking forward to representing the people of the Delta.
Maybe some kind of, it would be great to have like an open forum with you and Bob at, say, the Cultural Center that gets run over the radio. where people through the Delta could hear, and there could be some, maybe even if it didn't have to be a debate, it could just be both of you answering questions and explaining more so that by November people have a really clear idea of who they would like to vote for.
So like a Zach rally, not a Trump rally.
No. There will be no fighting in the Cultural Center parking lot.
I would say the Zach party is very inclusive, and I would say that, you know, yeah, I would open, I'm very sure. open to something like that. I think it's a good way to get, you know, candidates' positions out into the open. And
yeah.
I think that's super important, you know, mm-hmm. and I'd venture to say you guys have more pull with that than I do. So.
So we'll, yeah, okay, good. Well, good for you. Now it makes it more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, see what's going to happen.
One thing to note, this is a primary election, so the vote would actually be August 16th.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Yep, no worries.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you to everybody out there listening.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Have a great day.
Bye. All right. So.
Well, now you could.
We have a little horse race now.
Now you could vote. You could really vote now.
I vote.
I know. I'm just picking on you.
I vote each and every time.
Well, I do too. So
anyway, so. But it's always nice to have like a little back and forth and for people to, you know, have a little, have more than one person running.
You know, things are bound to happen. Things are bound to change, and we need change.
Yeah.
We,
so
we
we'll
the
see.
People need something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the same old run around the mill.
Well, but sometimes
I mean,
people who have longevity are very valuable because they know how to get things done.
Depending on what side of the track they're on.
True. True.
Democrat, Republic, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So. We have an email that mm-hmm. Geraldine's going to read for us. Go ahead, Geraldine.
It says, it's an anonymous email. It says, how can you make a statement that is not going to happen when it comes to transgender bathroom attacks? All this does is open the door for child predators or perverts to dress as or transgender, dress as a transgender and go into a bathroom. As a woman and a mother of a teen that does not require me to accompany her to the restroom, I'm worried. This does not disregard the welfare of our young boys either.
Okay. So it's so interesting to me because right now, whatever the law is, if a man wants to dress as a woman and go into a bathroom and do something illegal, it's still illegal. And he can still do that. Whether you have a law that says no transgender, see, transgender people are not doing attacks like that. It's that.
How do you know that?
I research it. I took an interest in this because I found it so curious that people became very scared about who's using the bathroom. No matter what, it's illegal to go into a bathroom and attack someone. That is illegal. You don't need an additional specialized law. And I think that there's something so if you want to talk about, is it okay for men to dress as women and go and attack children? Everyone's against that. Everyone knows that's illegal. Everyone knows that's prosecutable. So now if you go one step further and say, well, it's those transgender people that are making it easier for men to do this, I have to disagree and say that connection is not –
what you can do if it becomes a connection?
It's not, though.
What you can do if it becomes, I'm asking you.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
But
And I told you why you're not worried about
it. It's not. That. And because I don't know if people know very much about transgenderism anyway, because when you are around someone who is transgender male or transgender female, and if they have been living that way for a long time and they are, you know, then sometimes you cannot tell. For example, many of us have probably been in a bathroom with someone who's transgender and we don't even know it. And I'm sure that's probably happened. And so I think that people have some misunderstandings about transgender. And they're putting transgender into a discussion where they don't belong. The issue of whether men dress as women and go in and attack little girls, that's separate. That's a totally different issue, but people are putting them together, and I think that that's
Because that's
really
how they feel, and they
sad.
Think that's what'll happen. And they have a right to that opinion.
Oh, yeah, and I'm giving other information that hopefully will maybe put people's mind at rest. Anyway, so we have another caller. I'm not familiar with pronunciation of the name. Ayoksuk. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I do appreciate it. Akashkukim salmon.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have two managers. From Kalskeg on down, it's managed by the federal. And from Kalskeg on up, and I need to be correct if I'm wrong, is managed by the state. The river system is not aligned. That's why we're closed and the upriver is open, which is just all right. From my understanding, there is a proposal to align the Kuskokwim River salmon system. I don't know when they will be deliberating about that. That's why the downriver, we, the village that are living in the downriver, are not fishing because of the two different systems of managing the river. And I hope that they, the proposal will be passed to align them. Thank you, and you all have a good day. Bye.
All right, thank you. We have a caller, but we weren't sure. I'm not sure who it is, but you're on the air. If you're waiting, go ahead and talk. And I think it's you. I don't know who it is.
Good morning, fellow Alaskans.
You, okay. Whoever you are on the air. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yes, we'll be eating salmon pretty soon, and there will be lots of fishing.
Oh, yes. That day is coming.
Yes, we're not starving yet, and enjoy the life. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. Well, he had an upbeat take on this. All right, thank you. Okay, so we have Tom. Good morning, Tom. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Tom Leonard from Chilista.
Uh-huh.
We had our Chilista call-in show yesterday, but I just wanted to call and remind shareholders that on Wednesday, June 1st, we mailed the annual meeting packet to all voting shareholders. So once that packet arrives, and I saw a lot of people carrying their packets around yesterday, that was great to see. You know, please, please exercise your right and your duty to vote for the Chilista annual meeting.
Okay.
So you can vote by using the blue paper proxy that's inside the packet, or on that blue paper right on the inside, it has your online access code, and you can vote online at chilistavote.com.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Great. Any questions?
No, I don't
know. You wouldn't happen to know who's running, would you?
There are three seats. I'll go ahead and quickly go through their names. In Unit 4, there are two people running, Paul George Guy and James M. Nickery. In Unit 5, Johnny Ivan and William Igilchak. And in Unit 6, Wayne Don and Joseph Lincoln Jr.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we have a few minutes. We only have a few minutes left. So first we have Stephen, and then Liz is behind after Stephen. So Stephen, you have about 2 minutes, and then we're going to get Liz, and that'll be the end. So go ahead, Stephen.
Well, I don't talk too fast, Stephen, Maxine Abushkak, about fishing.
Uh-huh.
Well, I hear Aniak people eating king salmon and hare downriver. I never even eaten a king salmon all this time. So this restriction was not supposed to go on this year. We were not supposed to be restricted at all under the Castro Kim Chinook management plan. What happened is that the villagers should know we'd be freely fishing out there if you want to set your nets if you want to, but then what we call the Casco Cream Management group, that same group that tries to boss us around representing villages and that have many sport fishing people that have that sit on that boat like Walter Larson is saying. Those people made a proposal to the Board of Fish, and the Board of Fish approved it, so that's why they closed it. It was open. We would have been open right now, but under the, if Ray from Wildlife Fish and Wildlife Services listening, there is supposed to be an open opportunity for subsistence qualified users under your management.
Okay.
And it needs to be coordinated right away, because for us federally qualified subsistence users have an opportunity, and we have a right under Title 8 of ANILCA and under 804 analysis that we have a right to harvest some of the resources under these circumstances where enough is not enough. So that's my listening to the radio last time the working group was meeting, the same group of people that didn't want 4-inch nets voted and wanted 4-inch nets. What's going on? That's crazy.
Okay, yeah. What's crazy about it?
Same people that didn't want 4-inch nets on the river voted to have a 72-hour opening with a 4-inch net.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, all right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Stephen. All right, last we have Liz. Liz, you have about a minute. Good morning.
Hi, okay. This is concerning our elders.
Okay.
I think, to all the listeners for January 2017, Salista and the elders should meet and with the Fish and Wildlife, January 1st, 2017, they should meet and with all our elders from 56 villages.
Okay.
And bring this up.
To talk about the fish closures?
Everything. All the subsistence activities just should go on.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I felt so sorry for that elder that she said that she hasn't even had a salmon to eat yet. Only once, a really tiny one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think this needs to go into AFN convention. So I would love to hear that on January 1, 2017, that this with all the fish and wildlife needs to be fixed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
it
thank
is.
You. Okay.
Goyana.
Thank you, Liz. We're gonna have that'll be the end. That'll be the rest of the end of the show.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody that called.
Me too. And emails.
And the emails. I appreciate everybody's opinions. They're all worthwhile discussing and
important
to everyone. Again, this has been Friday Morning Talk Line. If you're going to go out, have a plan. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go on a boat, please wear your PFD. And yes, don't drink and drive. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the weekend. Make it the best of it and have fun.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Express yourself.
Been listening to Talkline. The comments, points of view, and opinions made are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors.